भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवतीर्वुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 65 एंटाइटल्ड लॉर्ड बलराम विजिट्स वृंदावन टेक्स्ट नंबर 2। राइट द वर्स सो आई विल जस्ट recite the verse. Whoever can repeat after me, they can repeat.
Parishvaktaschirotkantai Gopair Gopi Birevacha Ramo Bivadya Pitara Ashirbir Abhinanditaha परिष्वक्तश्चिरोत्कण्ठैः गोपैर्गोपीभिरेव च रामोऽभिवाद्य पितरा आशीर्भिरभिनन्दितः। परिष्वक्तैश्चिरोत्कण्ठैः गोपैर्गोपीभिरेव च रामोऽभिवाद्य पितरा आशीर्भिरभिनन्दितः। परिष्वक्तश्चिरोत्कण्ठैः गोपैर्गोपीभिरेव च रामोऽभिवाद्य पितरा आशीर्भिरभिनन्दितः। परिष्वक्तश्चिरोत्कण्ठैः गोपैर्गोपीभिरेव च रामोऽभिवाद्य पितरा आशीर्भिरभिनन्दितः। परिष्वक्तश्चिरोत्कण्ठैर्गोपैर्गोपीभिरेव च रामोऽभिवाद्य पितरा आशीर्भिरभिनन्दितः।
वट् टु अ ट्रान्स्लेशन्। Parishvakta, embraced, chira, for a long time, utkantitaha, who had been in anxiety, gopai, by the cowherd men, gopi bihi, by the cowherd women, eva, indeed, cha, also, ramaha, Lord Balaram, Abhivadya, offering respects, Pitarau, to his parents Nanda and Yashoda, Ashirbi, with prayers, Abhinanditaha, joyfully greeted. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Having long suffered the anxiety of separation, the cowherd men and their wives embraced Lord Balaram. The Lord then offered respects to his parents. and they joyfully greeted him with prayers. Purport. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti gives the following words regarding this situation. Nityananda swarupopi prema tapto vrajau kasam yayau krishnam apityakta yastam ramam muhustumaha. Let us repeatedly glorify Lord Balaram, although he is the original personality of eternal bliss. Nityananda. Although he is the original personality of eternal bliss, Nityananda, he felt pained by his love for the residents of Raja, and thus he went to see them, even at the cost of leaving Lord Krishna. Oma Gyanatimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namavo Mishnupadaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pashati Deshatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vranda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Balram's visit to Vrindavan. It's a little esoteric pastimes are described in this chapter. Definitely not qualified to enter into these pastimes. So I seek the blessings of the devotees so that I can speak something on this particular chapter. So in this chapter, essentially two pastimes are described. Lord Balaram going to pacify the residents of Vrindavan, and the later part of the chapter describes Lord Balaram performing his Ras Leela with his set of gopis and then subduing the pride of Yamuna Devi. These are the two pastimes described in this chapter. In this chapter we see Lord Balaram, he is actually having the association of Krishna in Dwaraka, but he is actually left the association of Krishna in order to pacify the residents of Vrindavan. So the acharyas actually write in the purport that Lord Balaram, he is actually very much pained by the sufferings of Rajavasis. So therefore, although He has to leave the association of Krishna, but his feeling for the devotees of Vrindavan, that actually pained him even more than his separation from Krishna. So for the sake of actually the devotees of Vrindavan, in order to actually pacify them, he even gave up the association of Krishna and goes to meet the Vrajavasis. In fact, the previous verse purported is explained that remembering the deep friendship he once enjoyed with the cowherd folk, Lord Balaram went alone to Vrindavan, having taken shelter of Krishna's permission. So after actually taking Krishna's permission, he goes to meet the residents of Vrindavan. So we see here that Lord Balaram, he is actually is more eager to associate with the devotees of Krishna in Vrindavan, and for that sake he is leaving the association of Krishna. So one thing which predominantly one principal lesson which comes strikingly from this pastime, from this especially from these verses, is that association of the devotees is actually more important than even the association of the Lord. Just like Kapila Devi says that association of people who are attached to sense gratification, it is more dangerous than association of the sense objects. So similarly, association of devotees who are attached to Krishna is more important than even association of Krishna. So Dhruva Maharaj, he says in his prayer, Bhaktim muhu pravahatam tvayime prasanga Bhuyad ananta mahatam amalashayanam Yenanja solbanamuru vyasanam bhavabdim Neshe bhavat gunakatam rita panamatta. He says that Bhaktim muhu pravahatam tvayime prasanga. Dhruva Maharaj is actually standing in front of the Supreme Lord, but he is asking for the intimate association of the devotees. Prasanga means intimate association. And what kind of devotees he wants? Bhuyad ananta mahatam amalashayanam, who are pure in their hearts. And then somebody may ask, Dhruva Maharaj, you are asking for the association of the devotees, but then how will you cross this cycle of birth and death? How will you cross this material existence? How can you cross this ocean of material existence? Are you not afraid of the material existence? So Dhruva Maharaj says, Yenanja solbanam uru vyasanam bhavabdim. Uru vyasanam bhavabdim. This material existence is filled with very dangerous sharks, very dangerous miseries. It's a very dangerous ocean. But yena anjasa, but I will very easily cross this ocean. I will very easily cross this material ocean because neshe bhavat gunakatamrita panamatta. Panamatta. Panamatta means because I am very much intoxicated, to hear about the glories of Krishna in the association of devotees. Neshe bhavat gunakatamrita. I am very much eager to hear about your qualities and pastimes. I am very much intoxicated to hear about your pastimes from the devotees. So simply by this act, I will very easily cross this ocean. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says in the purport that Dhruva Maharaj exhibits transcendental pride in this particular verse. Because he is saying that, crossing the ocean of material existence is nothing for me. I can very easily cross. He is very proudly saying because of his confidence in the process of hearing about Krishna in the association of devotees. So here we see that the Balram, he is pained by the love for the residents of Vrindavan and he goes to see them, even at the cost of leaving Krishna. So from a preaching point of view, the lesson we can take is that Balram is going to Vrindavan in order to comfort the Vrajavasis. So preaching means to give comfort to the afflicted people and to afflict those who are comforted. Like those who are afflicted by the different miseries of this world, those who are non-devotees or the devotees who may be afflicted with certain miseries. In this case, like Balram is going to give comfort to the devotees of Krishna. So those who are actually afflicted with the different miseries, we have to comfort them and we have to give hope to them. We have to maintain their hope in the shelter of Krishna. So Balramji is going to Vrindavan to maintain their hope of the Vrajavasis in Krishna and to comfort them. And another aspect of preaching is that there are some people who may not be afflicted, but they are just very much conditioned to their comforts of their life. They don't want to come out of their comfort zone. They are very much they feel that the material world is a very happy place. They feel that there's no need to actually take shelter of Krishna. There is no need to intensify our sadhana. There is no need to take to spiritual life. So they are in a very comfortable situation. So the other aspect of preaching is that to afflict the comforted. That means like we have to create in them, we have to destroy their hope in the material shelters. We have to create hopelessness in the material shelters. Means like because of
the temporary material, because of taking shelter of different things of this world or different shelters of this world, they appear to be very comforted without oblivious to the fact that these shelters cannot be relied upon. So the preaching is to give comfort to the afflicted and to afflict those who are comforted. Essentially, to create faith in the shelter of Krishna and then to destroy their faith in the material shelters. So here Balramji is going to give hope to the Vrajavasis who are actually in great separation from Krishna, and he is going to actually comfort them. So we will try to discuss on this pastime of we see like Balramji is going to Vrindavan, but one may get the question, why did Krishna go to Vrindavan? Why did Krishna not return to Vrindavan? So acharyas give two reasons why Krishna did not return to Vrindavan. One reason is that Krishna felt by his experience of his dealings with the Vrajavasis, Krishna felt that the Vrajavasis experience more pain in his association than in separation from him. So Krishna felt that if I go and give my association to them, then in my association they experience more pain because of thinking about the imminent separation. In association they experience more pain than in separation from Krishna. So therefore Krishna did not want to actually give pain to the Vrajavasis. So therefore he did not actually go and give his association to the Vrajavasis. Because although Krishna may go and give his association to the Vrajavasis, there will be initial bliss which the Vrajavasis would experience, but after some time, by the imminent separation from Krishna, they would be plunged into sorrow. So thinking about that, so Krishna did not go and give his association to the Vrajavasis. And the second reason is that Krishna felt that the Vrajavasis, they would experience greater intense connection with me in separation from me than in union. In separation from me, they will be more intimately connected with me, and therefore they would experience a far greater bliss than in union with me. So therefore, in order to give that experience of the greatest bliss in separation from him, so Krishna did not actually want to return to Vrindavan. But however, Balramji, he did not approve of Krishna's line of reasoning. So he made many attempts to convince Krishna to return to Vrindavan. But after many unsuccessful attempts, Balramji decided to return to Vrindavan in order to pacify the residents of Vrindavan. So when Balramji was determined to go to Vrindavan, Krishna also had a half mind in order to go along with Balram to Vrindavan. So when the Yadus came to know that Krishna is also thinking about going to Vrindavan, when the Yadus understood Krishna is also thinking about going to Vrindavan, then Yadus tried to stop Krishna. Because Yadus knew Krishna's nature, because Krishna completely comes under the control of the devotees. If Krishna goes to Vrindavan and Krishna would be so much controlled by the love of the Vrajavasis, and Krishna would not return. So because Yadus, they were aware of Krishna's nature, when they came to know that Krishna is having half a mind to go to Vrindavan, so they put all their efforts to stop Krishna in going to Vrindavan. So therefore, Krishna actually did not go along with Balram to Vrindavan. So then when Balramji was going to Vrindavan, Krishna gave some verbal messages to Balramji which he wanted Balramji to convey to the residents of Vrindavan. So this time Krishna, like previously when Uddhava, when Krishna sent Uddhava as a messenger, Krishna sent written messages. But this time, Krishna sent verbal messages with Balaram. And Krishna sent verbal messages with Balaram to different groups of the residents of Vrindavan, Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda, and to different sets of the gopis. And why he did not give the written message and only gave a verbal message? Because the reason is that Balaramji was very much familiar with the residents of Vrindavan. He was very much familiar with the mood of the residents of Vrindavan, unlike Uddhava, who was not as familiar as Balaram, like Balaramji. So therefore, Krishna, because he did not have to, like in the case of Uddhava, he told that you just read out the message. Because Uddhava was not so much familiar with the residents of Vrindavan. So therefore Krishna gave the written message in case, so that he can just read out the message. But in the case of Balaramji, he knows the, actually the love of the residents of Vrindavan, so therefore he just gave a written message. And for Balaramji has performed he has performed so many services to Krishna. He is performing so many services to Krishna. Balaramji, one of the amshas of Balaramji, is holding all the universes like a mustard seed. Holding all the universes is nothing for Balaramji. It is like holding different mustard seeds. And Balaramji has killed so many demons. But the most difficult task for Balaramji comes in this particular chapter, to go and pacify the residents of Vrindavan. And even among the even in this particular task of pacifying the residents of Vrindavan, the most difficult among this task is to pacify the gopis of Krishna. So that was the most difficult task of Balaramji. And Balaramji felt the ever increasing weight of Krishna's message upon his mind. Just like suppose you are carrying a suitcase or some huge weight. So initially to carry that for one moment or few seconds or something, it's not so difficult. But as you keep on carrying that weight, as time progresses, that you feel the burden of the weight more and more. So similarly, as Balaramji was approaching from Dwaraka to Vrindavan, with every step he was feeling the increased burden of the weight of Krishna's message. It was not some physical weight, because even Krishna did not even give some letter also which he had to carry physically. It was actually the mental weight, in the sense he had to convey that message which Krishna gave to the residents of Vrindavan. Especially he felt the increasing weight of the message which Krishna gave, which should be given to the gopis of Krishna. So he was feeling the increasing weight of that. So why actually why did Balaramji consider this as the greatest task, to give this message to the gopis of Krishna? Just to get a small understanding of the position of the gopis, Krishna explains the position of the gopis in the 11th canto in the Uddhava Gita. Actually, in very few places where Krishna openly speaks about the position of the gopis. One at the end of the Rasa Leela. But in the Uddhava Gita, Krishna speaks about the, Vishnu Chakravarti writes in a purport that Krishna is bringing out the deepest treasure which is hidden within his heart. That is about the position of the gopis. And he is actually speaking about the position of the gopis to Uddhava in order to inspire Uddhava, to take gopis as his role model. So in that particular verse, Krishna says, Tasta kshapa preshta tamena nita mayaiva vrinda vana gocharena kshanardha vatta punaranga tasam hina maya kalpasama babuvuhu. So Krishna says that all of those nights that the gopis spent with me, their most dearly beloved, in the land of Vrindavan, while I herded the cows, seemed to them in pass seemed to them to pass in less than a moment. Bereft of my association, the gopis felt that those same nights were equal to a day of Brahma. So in essence, to understand the position of the gopis, what Krishna is saying is that the gopis are in the position, they experience the love of Krishna in the stage what is called as Mahabhava or the Ruda Bhava. So what is the symptom of the stage of Ruda Bhava is that in separation from Krishna, they feel one moment to be one day of Brahma. And in union with Krishna, they feel one day of Brahma to be like one moment. So the gopis were experiencing this feeling. So they were most intimately connected with Krishna. So Balaramji was feeling, how can I go and actually pacify the gopis? So therefore, it's a very high topic, but just to give an understanding of why did Balaram feel that as the most difficult task? In order to appreciate why did Balaram feel that as the most difficult task, we need to understand the position of the gopis. And the position of the gopis is that they felt separation from Krishna. In separation from Krishna, they felt one moment to be like one day of Brahma. And in union with Krishna, they experience one day of Brahma to be like one moment. So that was the position of the gopis, and so therefore Balaramji felt, how can I go and actually pacify the gopis? So then Balaramji, as he reached Vrindavan, all the residents of Vrindavan, when they saw Balaramji, just like a person is drowning in a river, and when he gets when he is able to breathe, how much he will welcome that opportunity to breathe some fresh air. In the same way, the residents of Vrindavan, they felt the association of Balaramji to be like a breathing, fresh breath of air for a drowning person. And then Balaramji, he met the residents of Vrindavan, he actually reciprocated the residents of Vrindavan according to their age and according to their position. And then he reciprocated with Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. He sat in their laps and he reciprocated with their actually parental affection of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. And then Balaramji, he met the other elderly gopas, and then he started meeting the other residents of Vrindavan. And then in meeting the residents of Vrindavan, he started speaking about the pastimes of Krishna. And all the residents of Vrindavan, when they started hearing from Balaramji about the pastimes of Krishna, Jiva Goswami gives a beautiful analogy. He says, just like sometimes an eagle is actually flying in the sky, eagle is flying very high in the sky, but then if you see the eagle, there will not be any movement in the sky, in the eagle. It will appear as if like eagle is actually still, but the eagle is actually soaring through the sky. So similarly, the Vrajavasis, when they were hearing the pastimes of Krishna from the Balaramji, their hearts soared within the Krishna's pastimes, but their bodies remained motionless. It's like eagle, there is no movement in their body, but then eagle is actually it's flying in the air. Definitely, the hearts of the Vrajavasis were actually soaring in Krishna's pastimes, the sky of Krishna's pastimes, but their bodies remained motionless. So then Balaramji, late at night, Balaramji inquired about the welfare after describing the pastimes of Krishna. The time passed so much that it almost the night time it reached. And then by the time it reached the night time, that Balaramji, then he realized the time has passed, and then he started inquiring about the welfare of the cowherd men. He started inquiring about their welfare. So then Balaramji, he felt that, I have fulfilled my mission. When all the Vrajavasis, when they felt pacified by Balaramji speaking about Krishna, So then Balramji felt a satisfaction, oh, I have indeed fulfilled my mission of pacifying the residents of Vrindavan. Because he gave a fresh life to the residents of Vrindavan. But the most important, the most difficult task still remained, which he felt as the greatest burden. That is to actually pacify the gopis of Krishna. So then, because this he felt as the heaviest task of all, then Balramji went to meet the gopis of Krishna. And then when Balramji went to meet the gopis of Krishna, he saw the actually different emotions of the gopis. The Jiva Goswami says that the gopis were giddy with ecstatic love, and their emotions conflicted with one another as a raging river's turbulent currents sometimes eddy upstream. So like something like different currents of a stream, they actually conflict with one another. The same way the gopis were sometimes angry with Krishna, sometimes like they were laughing, sometimes like they were like crying. So different emotions of the gopis. So by seeing that emotions, like Balramji was like completely wonderstruck. So then Balramji, he felt that like how will I be able to pacify the gopis? So he was able to recall the message of Krishna. Whatever Krishna had told him to give to the gopis, that message, he was able to recall that message. But then Balramji felt, but then how will I be able to convey the exact mood with which Krishna spoke that message? Thinking about that, he felt like I can speak the message, but I cannot convey the mood with which Krishna spoke that message. Like sometimes, when you give Bhagavatam class, we prepare something, but the last moment, whatever you prepared, we go blank. And even if we speak it, but then, nonsense, we are speaking in a theoretical platform or my intellectual platform most of the time, but we cannot actually, we are just nonsense, we are preaching for our own purification, we are not able to convey the exact mood in which the verses are spoken. We may not be able to offer the same prayers, the mood in which the devotees have prayed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Balramji was also feeling the same thing. He was able to recall the words, but he felt, how will I be able to convey the same mood of Krishna? So then, because he felt that mood in which Krishna gave that message, that mood is known only to Krishna and the gopis. I am not aware of that mood. How will I be able to convey that particular mood? So Balramji was the master of all the power and the lord of all the worlds. But yet he felt that I am not fit for this particular task. I cannot perform this particular task. So then, and then the gopis also, and from the, this was the feelings of the Balramji towards the gopis. And what were the feelings of the gopis when they met Balramji? So gopis were thinking that definitely Krishna must have sent some message through Balramji. It's like previously Krishna sent some message through Uddhava. So the gopis also felt that Krishna must have sent some message through Balramji. But the gopis were feeling, but then if Krishna really loves us, then he would have come personally. His message cannot replace his personal presence. So gopis, like despite the natural respect they had for Balramji, the gopis could not be satisfied hearing from Balram. So they actually wanted Krishna, and they felt that if Krishna had a message for them, then Krishna should personally come to them. So they wanted to hear that message from Krishna's mouth. So in this way, the gopis, in one sense, they want the personal presence of Krishna. And they felt that, oh, Krishna might have sent some wonderful message with so many decorative metaphors and analogies, but then his message cannot replace Krishna. So in one sense, initially they did not want to hear about Krishna. And the gopis started speaking about Krishna. Of course, they were speaking because of their highest ecstatic love. They were speaking about Krishna as an ungrateful man, they were speaking a little in an angry mood towards Krishna. And when they started speaking about Krishna, initially in an angry mood, and then they could not stop recalling their wonderful dealings with Krishna. And when they started recalling their wonderful dealings with Krishna, and that aroused their eagerness to hear that Krishna's message which he sent through Balramji. So then, when their eagerness arose, then their anger towards Krishna subsided. And they were waiting when Balramji would convey that message. So that initially their mood was anger towards Krishna, and then when they started remembering Krishna, that arose their actually affection towards Krishna, and that resulted in eagerness to hear Krishna's message, and their anger subsided, and they were actually waiting for Balramji to convey that message. And Balramji was feeling, how will I be able to convey that message? So at that time, what happened was that Balramji started intensely remembering Krishna. And Balramji started intensely remembering Krishna. It is described that Balramji attracted Krishna in his mind, and he attracted Krishna to appear in his mind so that Krishna could directly speak that message to the gopis. So the 16th verse of this chapter, the word comes Sankarshana. So Jiva Goswami writes in that purport, the word Sankarshana here means Balramji attracted Krishna in his mind. So when he felt the heaviest task of conveying the message which Krishna gave to the gopis with the mood in which Krishna actually wanted that to be given, so Krishna, Balramji intensely prayed, and then he attracted Krishna to appear in his mind, and then Krishna himself directly spoke that message to the gopis. And for a moment, when gopis, when they heard the message from Balramji, they were seeing Balramji with their eyes, but when they heard that message, they felt that, oh, Krishna is speaking. Because they could understand the way in which Balramji would speak, the way in which Krishna would speak. And when they heard the words, they felt that this is not Balramji's words, Krishna is speaking. And they felt that the mood is also, this is not the way in which it is spoken, it also appears that it is actually Krishna's mood, it is not Balramji's mood. And they were in a conflict, that they were seeing Balramji, but then what they were hearing is that Krishna's words. So when they were confused, so at that time, for a moment, Balramji's form transformed into Krishna. So the gopis, they actually saw Krishna. And this is actually one particular return of Krishna to Vrindavan. It's called as Krishna Sangati, Krishna's return to Vrindavan. That when Balramji intensely prayed, Krishna returned to Vrindavan for a moment, and he conveyed that message initially through Balramji, and then he appeared for one moment in the Prakata Leela. So in this sense, Krishna acted like a transcendental ventriloquist. So there is a term called as ventriloquist. Ventriloquism means, like suppose sometimes you might have seen a puppet show. In a puppet show, that like puppets are actually moving, and then the voice is coming, it appears that the puppets are speaking, but actually somebody else who is behind the stage, he is actually speaking. So he is speaking through the puppet. But actually it appears that the puppets are speaking, but actually somebody else is speaking. So the same way, in one sense it appeared that Balramji was speaking, but actually who was speaking? Krishna spoke through Balramji. So Krishna acted like a transcendental ventriloquist, and he spoke through Balramji. And in fact, just to contrast this particular pastime with in the sixth canto, in the episode of Chitraketu Maharaj, when Chitraketu Maharaj's son dies, Harshashoka was poisoned by the queens of Chitraketu Maharaj. So that time, Chitraketu Maharaj and all the residents of the palace, and especially Kritadyuti, they were in so much in lamentation. But Chitraketu Maharaj, when he arrives at that particular place, Chitraketu Maharaj was falling unconscious, and then he was getting up, and then again he was falling unconscious. And then Chitraketu Maharaj, when he arrived at that particular place, he was lying like a dead man, dead body, besides another dead body. So at that time, Narada Muni and Angira Rishi arrive at that particular place. And Narada Muni gives transcendental knowledge to Chitraketu Maharaj. So initially, if you read that pastime, initially Narada Muni speaks the transcendental knowledge. And then when Chitraketu Maharaj heard the transcendental sound vibrations from Narada Muni, Chitraketu Maharaj became pacified. The words of Narada Muni gave hope to Chitraketu Maharaj. But although Chitraketu Maharaj got pacified, he got some hope, but still Narada Muni could see, but still there is so much of lamentation all over the palace. Kritadyuti and other residents of the palace, they are still lamenting by the death of the son. So Narada Muni felt, so I have somewhat pacified Chitraketu Maharaj, but how can I pacify the other residents of the palace? Then at that time, Narada Muni, he revived the dead son. In fact, he made the dead son speak the same philosophy what he spoke previously. Nonsense, if we see that particular pastime, what Narada Muni spoke and what the dead son spoke, essentially it is the same philosophy about the temporary nature of the relationship with this world, the difference between the body and the soul, how one should take shelter of Krishna. And essentially the same philosophy. But then, because the other residents of Vrindavan, they were not pacified by hearing from Narada Muni. And they became pacified when they heard the same philosophy through the dead son. In fact, Vishnu Chakutaku writes in the purport, Narada Muni entered the dead son, he only spoke the same philosophy through the dead son. So Narada Muni acted like a transcendental ventriloquist. In order to pacify the residents of the palace, he spoke that philosophy. The same way here, Balramji, he was able to pacify pacify Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda and other residents of the elderly gopas and the younger gopas. He was able to pacify them by speaking about Krishna. But when it came to the gopis of Vrindavan, he felt like, it is beyond me, I cannot perform this particular task. So here he meditated upon Krishna, and he attracted Krishna to appear in his mind. So we see, so then Krishna appeared and he spoke that message. So the lesson we can take is that, like sometimes it is easy to actually, in one sense, it is easy to actually speak also, in the sense, there are so many lectures available in ISKCON Desiratory. Any topic we want, we can actually speak. But then, to actually convey the mood of that message with which the words are spoken, that is actually most difficult. So here, Balramji felt that heaviest task. Even Shukdev Goswami, in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, before he started speaking to Parikshit Maharaj, when he offers a set of prayers, Shukdev Goswami also felt the difficulty of that particular task of speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, he offers prayers to the Supreme Lord. Bhutair Mahadbir Yayima Puro Vibur Nirmaya Shete Yadamushu Purushaha Bhunkte Gunan Sodasha Sodashatmakan Solankr Sishta Bhagavan Vacham Sime. So Shukdev Goswami says that he is praying to Krishna, please appear in my mind and please decorate my words so that I can speak this Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj and at the benefit of all the sages. Please not only decorate my words, Shukdev Goswami is praying for two things, to present the Srimad Bhagavatam in a pleasing manner, and he is also praying for the audience, that the audience can actually understand his message. One is like speaker can speak the message in a in a poetic, in a very attractive way, but then audience should be able to understand that. So Shrude Goswami is actually praying for that also. So we see that in that way we see here that we have to actually pray to Krishna to convey the same mood in which the message should be spoken. And lastly, talking about this topic of Krishna's return to Vrindavan, that one may get a question that why is it that the residents of Vrindavan, if they are feeling so much of separation from Krishna, why did they not go and meet Krishna? After all, Vrindavan and Mathura, they are very close by only. Why did they not go and meet Krishna? In fact, we see that the residents of Vrindavan, they never leave Vrindavan. And the residents of Dwaraka also, when Krishna leaves Dwaraka, they don't leave Dwaraka. They also feel separation from Krishna. The residents of different dham, they don't leave that particular dham, although they are feeling separation from Krishna. They could have gone along with Krishna. So the reason which is explained is that the reason is essentially, it is what is called as transcendental exclusivism. Transcendental exclusivism or a divine exclusivism. So what it means is that the residents of Vrindavan, they are attached to a particular mood in which they want to serve Krishna. So every dham has a particular mood, and different moods of particular dhams, they complement and nurture the corresponding moods of the devotees who live there. So because the residents of Vrindavan, they are attached to Krishna in a particular mood, and only that particular dham nurtures that particular mood. If they go to Dwaraka, then that particular Dwaraka will not nurture their mood. So therefore, they do not leave Vrindavan. And then another reason which Jiva Goswami gives in Krishna Sandarbha is that the residents of Vrindavan, they are more attached to dham than to Krishna himself. This can be puzzling. They are more attached to dham than to the Krishna himself. And then he explains, how is it that the residents are more attached to dham than to Krishna? So he explains by saying, the devotee's preference for Krishna's realm over his personal company is only apparent. Because the unique atmosphere in each dham is the combined effect of its residents' loving exchanges with Krishna. So in other words, each dham is all attractive to the residents of that particular place only due to the presence of Krishna. Why the dham is more attractive to the residents than Krishna is, it is because of the presence of Krishna only. It is not that it's because of some, they are little less attached to Krishna. Because each dham is actually composed of Krishna's loving exchanges with his devotees. Each dham is actually composed of that. So therefore, their attachment to dham is because of their all attractive nature to Krishna only. So basically, to give a simple example, like even on a material platform, a devotee may play so many different roles, but you may be attached to a devotee only in that particular role. Like one devotee was saying, when he started taking up different managerial responsibilities. So in managerial responsibilities, sometimes you have to be strict, you have to make some tough decisions. So previously he was only preaching. So another devotee, he told this devotee that you appear very attractive in the Vyasasan, but when you come out of the Vyasasan, when I see you as a manager, you appear very fearful. So I am more attracted to you in the mood of actually the preacher or something. So even in the material platform, sometimes the person is attracted to another person in one particular role. In the same way, in the transcendental platform, the devotees are attracted to Krishna in a particular mood. So therefore, they do not want to leave that particular dham. So this is called as transcendental exclusivism. And material exclusivism is that on the material platform, a person is attached to perform a service only in a particular situation, and if there's a slight change in the situation, one is not ready to perform service, or person is attached to perform only one particular service, but even in the case of emergency, one is not ready to perform some other service. So this is actually this kind of exclusivistic nature is on the material platform. But the residents of these different dhams, they are actually they are exhibiting exclusive in the transcendental platform. And actually, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we see Krishna's promise to return to Vrindavan three times in the Bhagavatam. One in the 39th chapter, when Krishna is leaving Vrindavan, he personally promises to the gopis that I will definitely return. And another in the 45th chapter, after killing Kamsa, Krishna told Nanda Maharaj that I will return to Vrindavan. And then in the 46th chapter, Krishna, through Uddhava, he told the residents of Vrindavan, I will definitely return to Vrindavan. But despite Krishna mentioning three times, Krishna giving this promise three times, why did he not return to Vrindavan? So if you see, one of the qualities of Krishna is actually being truthful. Rupa Goswami, Bhakti Rasama Sindhu, he gives a quote in which Kunti is telling to Krishna, before the war, Krishna told Kunti that, I promise you that I will get back all your five sons alive after the war. Then after the war, when Kunti actually met Krishna, Kunti told Krishna, even the sun may become cold, and even the moon may become hot, but you will never actually fail to fulfill your words. You will never fail to fulfill your promise. So in that sense, Krishna is truthful. But why is that one may feel that, oh, Krishna, there is no mention in the Bhagavatam that Krishna did not return to Vrindavan. In fact, the Acharyas explained, there is only one verse in the Bhagavatam which gives an indication that Krishna returned to Vrindavan. That is the first canto, 11th chapter, 9th verse. Yar yambu jaksha sasasara bo bhavan kurun madun vata sukhrut didukshaya tatrabda koti pratimakshano bhavet ravim vinakshorn ivanas tavachyuta. The residents of Dwaraka, they say that in separation from, whenever you go to Mathura and whenever you go to the Hastinapur, in separation from you, one moment appears like a millions of years. So in that verse, the Dwarakavasi are saying that whenever you go to Hastinapur and Mathura, whenever you go to meet the Kurus and the Madhus. So here the word Madhus, it refers to the residents of Mathura. But Rupa Goswami says it especially refers to residents of Vrindavan, because Krishna had transferred all his intimate friends from Mathura to Dwaraka when Jarasandha and Kalevan attacked Mathura. So therefore, in this verse, the word Madhun must refer to the residents of Vrindavan. So, but why is there no explicit mention in the Bhagavatam that Krishna did return to Vrindavan? In the 78th chapter, after Krishna killed Dantavakra, Vishnu Chakravarti writes in the purport that after Krishna killed Dantavakra in the outside of the gates of Mathura, Krishna returned to Vrindavan, and then he spent two or three months in Vrindavan, and then he sent all the residents of Vrindavan back to the spiritual world. And this pastime is described in the Padma Puran Uttarakhand. And Jiva Goswami, the Gopal Champu, he describes the pastimes which Krishna performed in Vrindavan after the killing of Dantavakra, his return to Vrindavan and his pastimes in Vrindavan in 9 chapters of Gopal Champu. But if Jiva Goswami has mentioned that pastime, why is it that Bhagavatam does not mention this particular pastime? So the reason is that Sukadeva Goswami felt that if in future he will have to describe Krishna's performance of Maushal Leela, how the Yadus killed each other and then they died in a fratricidal war and then left from this world. So Parishit Maharaj would think that, oh, Krishna sent the Vrindavan Vasis in their selfsame bodies to the spiritual world. But Krishna did not send the Yadus in their self-same body to the spiritual world. Because Parikshit Maharaj is more attached to the Yadus, Parikshit Maharaj would feel that Krishna is unfair, Krishna is partial. Parikshit Maharaj would get a doubt in the character of Krishna. So therefore, in order to protect the faith of Parikshit Maharaj in Krishna, Shukadeva Goswami deliberately did not describe the pastime of Krishna returning to Vrindavan and sending all the Vrajavasis in their self-same body to the spiritual world. Because, in order to protect the faith of Parikshit Maharaj. Because when you have faith, you can intensely concentrate on that particular person. When you have doubt, you cannot actually focus on that particular person. And Parikshit Maharaj just has few days to live. So, for that sake, Shukadeva Goswami did not actually speak that particular pastime. And then we also see that, in this way, we can see that Shukadeva Goswami, concerned about Parikshit Maharaj in order to protect the faith of Parikshit Maharaj. So, in this way, for that sake, Krishna, Shukadeva Goswami did not speak the Krishna's return to Vrindavan. And in this particular pastime, that we learn the lessons of how Balramji considered the association of devotees of Vrindavan to be more important than Krishna. And so therefore, in order to pacify the residents of Vrindavan, he returned to Vrindavan. And we also learn the lesson of how when we are speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, one is to speak the words, but another is to convey the mood. And in order to convey the mood, we have to actually pray to Krishna, so that Krishna can appear through us and convey that particular mood. So Balramji, how he actually prayed to Krishna and attracted Krishna to appear in his mind to actually convey that mood. So I'll actually stop here. Although I need to speak more, but I think it's beyond time. Grantana Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jaya.